If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, of course, Giant. Thank you to Lindsay Arbor and Mike Kelton. Both of those were great episodes. I really love recording them. You guys seem to really like enjoying listening to them, which is great. I'm very happy with that. We're now in February of 2015. A lot of great things are happening. A lot of exciting things are happening. It's always exciting and new here at Hit the Mark because, you know, every week you get a new episode. Cheesy, I know how I just said that. I don't know why I said it like that, but I did. All exciting things are happening. So many cool things are actually happening in my life right now that some of them actually do have to talk about that you might find interesting. But first, I want to let you know all the usual stuff. Okay, so if you go to iTunes, rate us, review us, give us a 5-star review if you'd like. Today's quote for that would be, if you want to get a quote and possibly get a free shirt, Hit the Mark is so great. When I listen to Hit the Mark, I buy a crate. Yeah, that's it. If you say that, which makes no sense, exactly that, if you type that into iTunes and it makes as little sense as it just did, then you guys will get yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt. Yeah. What? But yes, I'll have to email htmpod@gmail.com. And yeah, it's exciting. You can also buy Hit the Mark shirts and other merch. Go to Zazzle.com. You'll see a store there with everything that you ever can imagine from the show inside there. It's great. It's exciting. All this great stuff. Very, very excited. And of course, you can support the show. If you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you will see a PayPal button there right next to all 180-plus episodes. And you can donate as much or as little as you want to the show. It all helps the show. It all keeps the show running and going amazing and all that great things. And you know what, guys? I want another 180 more. You know what? It doesn't hurt. I'm having fun. You guys may be having fun. You know what? If you donate, that means a lot. I mean, listening is great. I love the fact that England has really come on board on the show. Been meeting a lot of fans randomly at my job. I don't think that, because I don't really say too often where I work on here, but that's always a fun surprise. A lot of cool things are happening. And another cool thing that's happening for me personally, myself and Scott Friedstein are having a test run of a monthly show at the Treehouse Theater on 29th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues in Manhattan at 11 p.m. on the 5th. That's this Thursday. The show will be Forms from the Bucket. It is a show where we have two teams on this week. It'll be No Drama, which has plenty of previous guests on the show, and Humphrey, which has a couple of previous guests on the show. It's all exciting. It's all cool. It's all, you know, it's all like a giant family when you think about what's been on the show and what's not. Or that's the way I think about it. I don't know anything. I ramble all the time. That's all I know. There's about 15 different forms of improv inside a bucket. The team has to choose a form from the bucket, and that's the form they have to do to the best of their ability without any rehearsal. Or, you know, I mean, maybe some teams do the Pretty Flower form often. I don't know. The show is $1 or a one free or one shot. Either way, you'll get in. Well, or one drink, you'll get in. And, you know, it'll be great to have a nice audience on Thursday, so please come out. It would mean a lot to me and to everyone involved in the show. And, yeah, I'm very excited about it. Today's review, I'm actually going to do a concert review. As some of you might know, I went to go see Jack White this past Friday at Madison Square Garden, and it was transcendental. It was beautiful. Jack White is my favorite musician. I've never seen him do anything bad live or on record, and it was interesting seeing, because I saw him back in 2003 when I was in high school, and it was him and Meg White doing White Stripes, and it was great. It was beautiful. It was amazing. I still remember most of that concert like it was yesterday. And today, when I saw him on Friday, he was doing a show where he, where it was billed as Jack White because he's been going solo. And he has an amazing six-piece band on stage with him too, which is also really cool considering I've only seen, before this, I only saw Jack White with two people, him and Maggie, and now I saw him with total like six people, and it's incredible. The show itself was great. It was music from the White Stripes, from the Recounters, and from his solo stuff. If he comes near you, see the show, it will hit the mark. It hit the mark. Oh my god, I also forgot to mention today's guest, Austin Rodriguez. Great friend of the show. Great friend of a lot of people that watch this, listen to the show. You can also watch it too with your ears. That makes no sense, but I will accept that. He is incredible, and this episode I'm very, very proud of. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. Austin Rodriguez is one heck of a cool dude. And there's a lot of fun things in this episode. It's a very fun, informative episode. A little bit short, but that's fine. I'm always big on quality, not quantity. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Austin Rodriguez on Hit the Mark. Bye-bye! Hit the Mark! And we're back! Okay, I'm just so excited about this episode. Big friend of the show, someone I've been waiting on for a long time. You know him, he's on my team Nipsey, he's on Kunk, he is the proprietor of BYOT, he is the man of fun and alcohol, Austin Rodriguez. How are you, man?
Good, how's it going, Mark?
Man, good, thanks for coming out here today.
The man of fun and alcohol, it's a good title for me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's appropriate, you are a bartender and you are fun.
Yep, I'm both those things.
Yeah, having a good day today?
Yeah, having a really good day. Helped a friend move.
Yeah?
I had to get up earlier than normal to do
that. Oh, jeez. I don't know. I hate waking up early.
I do, too. That's why I've kind of organized my life so I don't have to do that very often. But now I think I'm getting older because when I woke up earlier this morning, I was like, this ain't so bad.
Yeah, I had that same situation recently. Like, with Trader Joe's, they've been setting me up with shifts sometimes at like 6 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, God. Because I'm normally up to like 4 a.m. anyways.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wake up, and next thing I know, it's like, oh, God, like, I'm actually awake.
Yeah.
And then I pass out, like, hard right after work, but...
I saw somebody walking with Trader Joe's bag. Is there one in this neighborhood?
There's one, let's say, like, a mile away. It's, like, by Court Street.
Why can't you get out that one?
Because it's a lot further walk from the train and to the train. So, like, I got a good walk to the train for mine, but not a long walk from the train.
So, it's closer for you to go to the one in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And also, it's about the same commute time, just because it's so much walking otherwise.
Okay. Alright.
It's fine. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's all good.
You were at Best Buy before that, right?
Yes, I was. The Best Buy actually, like, literally 10-minute walk from here.
I'm writing a sketch about Best Buy right now.
Yeah? I can't wait to see it, because I have a lot of love and mixed feelings about that.
Tell me if this ever happened to you.
Alright.
So, it's a guy goes to Best Buy just to brag about his home electronics that he has.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Does that hit a nerve with you?
It really does. Well, more recently than, like, my old... Because I worked at Best Buy twice. Once in high school in, like, the DVD department.
Uh-huh.
And once, more recently, which was in the home theater department. And that... In the home theater department, it's all, like, people being like, yeah, I got, like, a 60-inch Samsung 4K television.
Are they actually there to buy anything? Or are they
sometimes they're there, like, buy an HDMI cord or, like a high-end remote.
Okay.
If you need, like anything, let me know, because I have many a story.
Well, the way it's written now, I put a lot of the specs in. I looked up products online.
Yeah.
I thought it might be funny to hear the actors reading off all the specs, just because they're...
That's hilarious.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I've had to trim it, so I've taken out some of the specs, and I'm worried that that's going to affect...
Is it for mod?
It is for mod, yeah.
Cool. If you want, like, I mean, like, as someone that was the best salesperson in March of last year in the city, per
that
hour.
Must have been really sad to see you go.
I think they were, but the company was in a bad shape-ish when I left.
Okay.
It's fine. I mean...
The company is not doing well?
I think it's doing better. I'm not sure. They were, like, I knew they were restructuring my store and, like, the management positions when I was leaving.
Okay.
Like, there used to be, like, 5 managers, and then, like, when I left, there were, like, 2.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, you know, online retail, man, it's probably gonna hurt.
Well, I mean, I'm thankful for Amazon, because Jeff Bezos came from my high school, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he went to the Moose Valedictorian in my high school, Miami Palmetto Senior High. A long time before I was there, probably even before I was alive, but.
I remember when I graduated college, they said that you want your school to do well after you graduate because your degree is held up against how that college is doing now, not when you went there, really.
And where'd you go to college?
UMass.
That's a great school.
Yeah. Yeah, their program, I did business, and their program has gotten even better since I've left.
So
it's like, I get to...
So are you like the anomaly being like in comedy and doing comedy and stuff like that from that program or?
I have my degree is in finance.
Right. And which is the exact opposite.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing. And I,
it's not a terrible thing. It's,
I just, you shouldn't pick your major when you're 18 years old. You don't know what the hell you're doing, you know?
I always wanted to be an actor, so it was pretty easy for me in that regard. But
so you're one of the lucky ones. I knew I wanted to be an actor and do this kind of thing, but I just figured I should get a safe degree.
See, I feel like in certain ways I should have gotten that. Like, I mean, I have all three undergraduate diplomas of mine are all theater. So it's that kind of situation where it's
you have three undergraduate
diplomas? I went to community college for 3 years and got two diplomas because I wasn't ready to leave yet.
What is the diploma?
Associates in Arts and Associates in Science, both in acting.
Okay.
And then I went to University of Florida where I finished and got my BFA in theater performance.
Okay. So you have two associates, one bachelor's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, a great education, but, you know, obviously it's a very... It's limited in what I know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Science. What's science of theater?
I have no idea. All I just know is that the associate in science, if I'm not mistaken, is one that was like more of a conservatory program. Like it required less of like math and stuff.
Okay.
Because I remember my first 2 years there was like pretty much all theater. My last year was like mainly science.
Okay.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I would love to see some. Theater science.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is. I mean, like, well...
Thank You, Robot.
Thank You, Robot, which is
a great show.
Yeah, they do have a science show now, which I really want to see.
Yeah, me too. I haven't gotten a chance.
I love Thank You, Robot. I've done the show a couple times.
Oh, they're the best.
And the nicest, too.
The nicest guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited about this episode. Like, as you know, I've been wanting you on for a long time.
Yeah.
And I apologize for taking so long for me to get you on the show.
No, it's... We've had...
We're both very busy people. Like, I mean... Yeah,
and people, we're high in demand, Mark.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you are like, I mean, you've blown up.
Blown up, like.
Well, I mean, like, because, like, I mean, ever since I've known you, like, you, like, you start, like, I met you as like the head bartender, like the head of the bartending at the Beast, which is a pretty cool fucking thing, I think.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then, like, you know, you got onto mod, and like, you know, you're blowing up with like all your awesome sketches. So
thanks. Yeah, I guess if that's blowing up, then I'm.
I think it's blowing up.
Blowing up.
I mean, you're getting your name out there. You're doing what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, man.
I hear you.
You know.
Let's jump right on in.
Okay.
To everything. Okay.
Let's
so
do it.
Awesome. Like, what was like your big comedy or acting inspiration growing up?
When I think back on it, my mom had one sense of humor and my dad had another sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I think my humor is kind of a combination of both.
Okay.
Years. So my mom loved. Like, Airplane was her favorite movie,
and she
made me watch it all the time, and I love that movie.
Yeah.
And my dad was more, like,
sophisticated?
Oh. Not at all, no. But he was more, like, the improviser. Like, he used to, like, pull up to people in front of Filene's and ask them how to get to Filene's, and, like, he'd do all these embarrassing things, like... He would drive my friend Andy Matheson home, but he would drive him to Andy Kite's house. He'd be like, "You're Andy, right? This is your house." So he was more like the, I guess, improv sensibility, and my mom was more of like the sketch sensibility, and that she loved funny movies and stuff like that. But my dad's kind of like Chevy Chase-ish.
Okay.
A little bit,
it seems like he's like a big dad joke person.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so I obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, know that I'm big into dad jokes.
Yeah.
So. As far as you're asking what, like, influences?
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, I soaked in everything that there was for comedy when I was a kid. Like, Comedy Central was on nonstop. And so Kids in the Hall, obviously. Saturday Night Live, obviously. I would tape Saturday Night Live, then rewatch it, transcribe the sketches.
You transcribed them?
Yeah.
And I used to read the transcriptions online, like, once the internet, like, became a thing.
Yeah. This is before the internet was a thing. And me and my friends would refilm the sketches. Like, we did... There was this one... That I haven't seen since, but it was Jeff Goldblum was hosting, and Rob Schneider, I believe, was a busker.
Okay.
And he was singing a song asking for money, And then Jeff Goldblum would give him money and be like, what are you doing, man? I'm not a homeless guy. I don't need your money.
I've seen that sketch before. It was when that was on SNL.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when it was on Netflix, it was on the SNL episode.
Oh, okay, nice.
Because I've definitely seen that. Because I've watched, I don't remember the episode. I don't remember the details, but I watched every SNL that was on Netflix.
Oh, nice.
While it was on Netflix.
Yeah, we had a few of them that we, you know, had on videotape. So we would just rewatch them and then we would refilm them. And so, yeah, and then, you know, stand-up. I loved stand-up as a kid. And I loved, you know, Stephen Wright. And just, I would constantly have stand-up on. Because Comedy Central used to show a lot more.
A lot. Like, it was, like, purely stand-up. And yeah. I want to say, like, Dr. Katz and, like, the critics.
Oh, God, Dr. Katz. That's the best.
I never got related to Dr. Katz.
Really?
Like, I think if I watch it now, I'd like a lot more than as a kid. I remember I liked The Critic a lot.
The Critic was great, yeah.
The Critic, I think, still holds up. I haven't watched it,
obviously. It does, I think. Dr. Katz would definitely still hold up. I don't know if it's on Netflix or anything like that, though.
It might be. I know it was on Netflix fairly recently, I feel like. I saw, like, I was, like, scrolling around late night and saw Dr. Katz. I'm like, oh, cool. But
Dr. Katz is, like, and John the Katz's stand-up was great, too, but
is he still alive? I think he is.
He's still alive.
Yeah, because he was on Marin, like, a year ago.
And John Benjamin was on that show, too.
Yeah, John Benjamin was, like, the kid or something.
Yeah, he was the son. But I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, that I feel like that sensibility in comedy is kind of going away, of, like, Dr. Katz. I was listening to Kevin Nealon on a podcast recently, and he was guest hosting on it. This was actually from years ago, but I was listening to it recently. He was guest hosting, and he didn't really, Adam Carolla's podcast.
Okay.
He didn't really know how to kill time. He didn't really know how to host a podcast. So he ends up calling Bob Einstein, you know, Super Dave.
Yeah, of course.
And their conversation was so
funny. The surrogate also from Arrested Development, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Of course.
Marty Funkhauser. Just that kind of Larry David, you know, Katz and, you know, Bob Einstein and Kevin Nealon. Just that, like, kind of dry, I guess it's kind of L.A.-ish. But kind of New York-ish, like, just that old man just, like, chatting about nothing kind of sense of humor, I just think is so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what Dr. Katz makes me think of.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, I just remember, like, I feel like Comedy Central wasn't cool till Kids on the Hall was on it.
Yeah.
Like, cause it was just, like, random clips of, like, Paula Poundstone doing stand-up.
Yeah, a lot of Paula Poundstone, yeah.
Whom I'm still pretty sure I would find funny, honestly.
You would or wouldn't?
I would probably find funny.
Well, I hear her all the time, because she's on, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was just thinking about this. This is very tangential. But,
okay, that's fine. Tangents are fine.
I was just listening to Ask Me Another, which is another NPR show.
Yeah.
NPR really gets a lot of mileage out of NPR jokes. Do you ever listen to any NPR?
I mean, all I listen to really is
they
like
love
American
cracking
Life.
Jokes about NPR.
That's really funny.
And it's
yeah, at least some good sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine being like, no NPR jokes? They'll make jokes about National Public Radio.
Right. But like, they were just like, they were talking about Hail Satan. And they're like, oh yeah, NPR, Hail Satan.
Stupid. Yeah, I should listen to more NPR. I like what I've listened to it on it. I mean, I've listened to other stuff besides for WTF. I mean, WTF's not on This American Life.
My brain is
not working this morning. This is great.
Yeah,
This is a fun, this is going to be a fun hour.
Did you have coffee yet, Mark?
No, I didn't.
Do you have coffee every day?
Not necessarily. I like to, the coffee is good, but I feel like I'd rather get to my normal speed.
Okay.
Then use caffeine unless I have to.
Okay.
And then I'll use caffeine later if I have to maintain, which I probably will tonight because I'm finishing a video that I've been working on for a long time tonight.
You're editing it?
No, I'm actually starring in it. Well, one of the stars of it.
So you're finishing filming it?
Micah probably told you about it.
I don't think so.
The Bardia Project. That's the easiest way to put it.
Oh, okay. Great.
Okay, well.
I love whatever that is.
All right.
Have you been watching the Jose Pena show?
Yes, I have.
Oh, man.
I watched both of them.
That's amazing.
They are absurd and beautiful. I highly recommend you guys watch. First off, just watch anything Otter Boys because they're great.
Anything Otter Boys.
But the Jose Pena show is amazing. If you know Jose, you'll love it. If you don't know Jose, you'll love it too.
Oh, he's freaking funniest.
He is a gem that you guys found at BYOT.
Yeah.
One of the BYOT celebrities.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the biggest BYOT celebrity.
I'd say my privacy is the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're by Hollywood standards, okay, the biggest. But
so like Jose Pena is like the, yeah, is like the Johnny Depp before it became like,
he's like the crybaby Johnny Depp.
Yeah, yeah, he's like the underground Johnny Depp.
Sure, sure, yeah.
My Privacy is like Charlie Chocolate Factory.
They're like whatever that new movie is. Malachi, what is it called?
Mordecai.
Mordecai. They're the Mordecai. No, it's My Privacy.
I love how once the episode comes out, that movie's like not going to be like a thing at all.
I don't remember it. I hope.
It that'd be bad. So weird.
Yeah.
How about this? If you guys remember that movie when this Mordecai episode airs? We're not that Malachi far in advance. It's 2 weeks-ish. It's
hopefully like you've forgotten about it by now.
Yeah, it's fine. So you're from Massachusetts, right?
I am, yep.
What's like growing up in Massachusetts?
It's interesting. I'm from Springfield, Mass.
Which is considered like one of the actual like Simpsons Springfield, like the
it
most.
It was in the running. Yeah. Yeah. But they did like the official contest to figure out right what it was. I think it ended up being Maine or Oregon. Or
yeah, something. It was like one of the randomer states.
Yeah. But Springfield is. I'm actually from a town right outside of Springfield called East Long Meadow. It's pretty, you know, typical small town kind of place. But so we don't have the accents of Boston or anything right like that, but we do have some of that, like...
You have a New Englandish accent.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose so.
Ish, like, not like full, yeah.
But it's kind of that, you know, just, it still has some of that kind of Boston mentality, like a lot of, like,
yeah.
drinking and fighting and that kind of thing. But great sense of humor. Yeah, it's a good place to be from.
Like, I'm assuming suburbs, basically, what it is.
It's kind of like, yeah, East Long Meadow, the town I'm from, is kind of like the suburbs, yeah. Cool. It's not like a cookie-cut suburbia, though. It's not like, you know, strip malls and that
right,
kind of
right,
right. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, local business and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's right on the border of Springfield, which is actually one of the worst crime cities in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I worked in Springfield.
What was your job?
I managed a bar there, and I bartended and waited tables and all that kind of stuff. And I caught it right at the tail end of it being like kind of a nice night spot to be, and then it's just gotten to the point now where there's constantly shootings. And,
oh, Jesus!
There's the Basketball Hall of Fame down there, which is nice.
Right. And I would love to go visit there sometimes. I love myself that sport.
Oh, do you?
I'm a big basketball
player. Oh, okay.
I think we've talked about this briefly.
Yeah, I think so. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, like I'm a lifelong Miami Heat fan, so.
Oh, okay. That's right. I do. Yeah. Yeah, you should go to the
basketball. I'm assuming you're a Celtics fan, right?
If I root for any team, it's the Celtics. Yeah. But the Nets, I would root for, too, because they had a lot of Celtics players, and I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But I really only follow baseball.
So your team would be the Red Sox?
It's the Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yeah. Western Mass has a lot of Yankee fans because Connecticut, we don't really associate with Boston and Eastern Mass as much.
Okay.
Even though it's a small state and you would think we would.
Yeah.
But my dad's from Connecticut, so Connecticut doesn't have a team, so they usually either pick the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's a Yankee fan, brought me up to be a Yankee fan.
But, well, that's good. I mean, I think it's sort of a Yankee fan than a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, I hate the Red Sox.
I really don't care too much about it either, but I've been to Yankee games.
Are you a Marlins fan?
I was a Marlins fan.
Okay.
Completely a fair weather fan. Like, the thing about Florida sports fans is we are fair weather fans.
It's always fair weather down there. Hey.
But not normally, not always for sports. I mean, like, the only team that was, like, decent when I was growing up was, well, the Dolphins were okay until I was, like, 13.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the Heat became good while I was, like, becoming a fan of basketball.
Yep.
And then I just stayed a fan of the Heat.
What about Ace Ventura? Did you like that movie?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
That was, like, the first PG-13 movie that I distinctly remember watching.
You were all PG before that?
Well, it's... I will be in history with movies. Like, my parents raised me a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, okay.
From a really young age, and I had no... Like, most of it went over my head.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the first... I remember, like, we went to Costco, and I remember, like, hearing that, like, Ace Ventura Pet Detective was a funny movie. The poster, like, the VHS was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I convinced them to buy it for me. And they were watching it first because like, they saw, like, you know, they were like, well, we have to make sure it's fine. They got through the first scene, like, yeah, this is fine. Of course, the second scene's a blowjob. But
they were, I mean, Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror is, of course, a lot stronger. Granted, I thought Tim Curry was a woman for most of my life.
Yeah.
By most of my life, I mean until I was like 8. But
you ever see Worst Witch?
I've heard of it.
Tim Curry's in that.
Is he also in Dragon that, or is he, like, Tim Curry looking?
He is a, like, fabulous vampire.
Okay.
Or Dracula, or something. Or, okay. Yeah, he's, like, but he's, like, you know, almost, like, David Bowie-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Check it out. It's great.
I will check it out.
You know who's in that? Is the girl from The Craft. What's her name?
Oh, Robin Tooney?
No.
Oh, the one that was in Waterboy?
Farza?
Oh, Fairuza Balk.
Fairuza Balk, I believe, is in the
Waterboy. Yeah, that's the one that was in Waterboy.
Waterboy, yes. Yep,
I'm exactly. A really big nerd for weird movie facts like that, so.
Oh, me too.
Granted, it's not that weird of a fact, but.
I'll talk movies with you all day.
Oh, don't get me started. Like, last week's episode with Mike Kelton. The Oscar nominations just came out like a few days before, and I just was. We talked about 20 minutes at the movies.
What had just come out? Oh, the Oscar
nominations.
Oh,
yeah. And we talked for like 20 minutes, but he only saw Into the Woods out like the major nominations.
That's the only one I haven't seen, I think.
Have you seen like the
everyone, I think.
Like the Best Actress movies also, like Still Alice,
Cake, and Still Alice. Yeah,
Still Alice.
Oh, Cake didn't get
nominated, but I'm seeing
which
that.
Which is ridiculous.
I heard it's amazing.
Jennifer Aniston was so good in it.
I'm going to try to see it later this afternoon, honestly, in our timeline, and not the listener's timeline. Our timeline just came out today.
I thought the movie was good. She was really good.
Did you see 2 Days, 1 Night?
No.
2 Days, 1 Night is treacherous.
Because somebody else is nominated for that, right?
Yeah, Marion Cotillard, who's one of the best actresses. Like, she's like Jessica Chastain, but European.
Okay.
Like, she's just an amazing actress.
Yeah.
And did you see A Most Violent Year?
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think you'd like that a lot,
okay,
actually. Like,
I want to see that.
Yeah.
But I've...
Still Alice, like...
She's
good. She's got the Oscar. Like, there's no way she's not going to win the Oscar.
She's so good in it. But that's like a film that you watch, like your doctor makes you watch if you get early onset Alzheimer's.
I do believe it. Like, because it gets weird because there's no real plot to the movie.
Yeah, it's just
what
happens.
But everything about the movie is so good. Like, the performances top to bottom are amazing.
You know what I'd like to see?
What?
Same movie, but she's poor and ethnic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sure,
well, because it's
really
about rich, upper class white people that are like in the arts.
Right.
And like,
it sucks to get early onset Alzheimer's,
yeah,
if, no matter who you are.
Right.
But that's a very elite kind of person to get it.
I mean, she definitely is like top 10%.
Yeah.
Like, financially.
I want to see a poor person get it with no friends, a lonely poor person.
Okay.
That's a movie. Mark.
That would be very.
That's a movie.
That'd be like as sad as like every Best Actress nominee of this year combined.
Because
all those movies are so.
Do you think
sad.
They made her rich and stuff just so that it would be a little less sad?
I don't know. I'd have to ask the author of the book.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart was very good.
Kristen Stewart was amazing.
She nominated for supporting.
No, she didn't. Which is a shame because it was a weaker category for supporting actress.
Yeah.
Like Patricia Arquette than everyone else. You know.
She did that scene from Three Sisters in it.
Which I actually missed that scene because I go to the bathroom.
Oh.
I went to John Hess and he just told me, like, basically, like, so I saw the scene starting when I went to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'm not going to say what happened, but, like, it was an important scene.
Yeah.
But.
That's good, man.
Kristen Stewart is one of those people I feel like if they want to be a good actress, they can be a good actress.
Yeah, because that's the first time I've seen her and been like, oh, that was good.
Did you see Into the Wild?
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
she's very small in that movie.
It is small, yeah.
But,
and
yeah,
I saw Wild.
Wild was great. I'm very happy for Laura Dern.
That was so good.
Like, that movie, I saw it after the longest jam of the year. Like, not the longest jam of the year, but the Secret Jam.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I had a really bad hangover still from New Year's Eve. And I'm like, I'm just going to watch it quiet.
She gets a hangover in that.
That whole movie is, like, the most stressful movie.
It's like The Hangover Part 4.
It really is.
In a lot of ways.
But, like, that movie is just so stressful.
Yeah.
But, like, really good.
I think I could lose a little bit from the first half and see more of the second half.
I agree.
Because I was watching and I was like, okay, this is good. And then at some point it clicked. I was like, oh, fuck, I really like this.
I mean, the most, I just find it so interesting whenever she ran into someone on the trail, the way it was written, it seemed like they were trying to rape her until, like, further into the scene.
Everybody was going to rape her.
Well, only one person definitely looked like they were going to try to do it after this. But, I mean, like, the first guy she went into, he's like, raid my truck.
Yeah.
Want a drink?
Yeah.
My wife doesn't need to know about this. And he pulls out Twizzlers.
A lot of people were going to rape her, though. Even the guy who stopped the actual raper guy from raping her, he even almost seemed like he was going to rape her.
Right. It's a really good movie, and honestly, like, I think if Julianne Moore wasn't as good as Stilettos as she is, like, Reese Witherspoon would have a really solid chance.
Yeah, I think that her performance was good, but I don't think
it Laura was Dern was good. Also great. I'm really happy she got some acclaim for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it was also like she was just Laura Dern-y. I feel like she's always Laura Dern-y. Which okay. is good. Yeah. I like what Laura Dern-y is, but everything is Dern-y with her. You know what I'm saying?
I think, okay, I think you guys need to tweet at Austin anything using the phrase Dern-y.
Yeah.
Just, like, we created the word Dern-y today.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be the most important part about this episode.
Please, tweet me your Dern-y tweet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So
I think Whiplash was my favorite movie.
So by the time this comes out, you're getting an exclusive right now, personally, because I've not published it yet.
Oh.
My top 10 movies of the year.
Exclusive.
Well, my number one was Birdman. Number two is Boyhood. Number three is Citizen 4.
I haven't seen that.
Whiplash, I think, was six.
Six, wow.
Whiplash was so good, but, like, as an actor, obsessed with, like, Broadway and all that stuff, like, Birdman, like, just barely edged out Boyhood. Like, all those movies, like, my top five movies are all just, like, crammed together.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm getting the exclusive. Aren't you worried that I'm going to, like...
No, I mean, honestly, like, by the time that... I mean, as long as you don't share this by, like, 5 p.m.
You never know.
It's you know what? Sure.
The way mobile phones are now, I could put it out right
you,
now.
This whole episode is just one giant tweet from you, right?
Could be.
I mean, you are prolific on the Twitter.
Oh yeah.
And
one of the top 10 Twitterers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Twitter Daily.
Twitter Daily. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, his name's Daily.
He's like Carson's brother.
Yeah.
But
Johnny Carson's brother. Anyhow, what were we
talking about? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I love a good tangent. It's, like, my favorite thing ever about these episodes. Okay, so we were talking about Springfield. We were talking sure. about... So, you went to UMass.
I did.
What's it like going to a northern college?
There's a lot of partying, a lot of fighting, like like I said. That's about it. I skated by and did just enough work to graduate with a decent GPA. And,
nice.
And then after that, I just traveled and lived different places. I lived
yeah.
in Chicago for a while.
Okay.
I lived in England for a while. And then I lived back in Massachusetts for a while. And
did you do, like, sketches and stuff like that while in school? Or
nope.
just strip, quote-unquote, focused, but not really focused?
Yeah, I did. I did, like, a couple, like, talent show kind of things, but
yeah.
But I did acting in high school, and then I...
What was your big role?
Okay.
I know you had a big role.
What was the big role?
or, like,
I played omnipotent space lord in Revenge of the Space Pandas.
In high school?
In high school, yep.
Cool. I've never heard of that play, but I'm assuming it might be original.
No, it's actually, like, I think it might have been Mammoth or something like that. It was
really?
Like, yeah, because I looked it up recently to see if that was just, like, some weird thing that a shady acting teacher had come up with, or if it was a real thing. And it turns out it was a real thing.
Sweet.
We did Ordinary People.
Oh.
I don't know. Random stuff. But
okay.
I was more concerned with, like, making sketches with my friends
right.
and stuff like that. Like, any time there was a project, like, a school project where I could make a video for it, I would always make a video
I actually
for
was
it.
In the same boat. Like, for, like, a lot of people don't know, it's, like, up until I was 14, I didn't know if I wanted to be a filmmaker or if I wanted to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided I wanted to be an actor a little bit more. But I, like, was making, I remember we did, the ending of The Odyssey for, like, a writing class and, like, kind of jackassed it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which was pretty funny because it was, like, you know, like, how the ending of The Odyssey is he returns and, like, he has, like, he just gets pissed off.
Remember Armando Sante in The Odyssey?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, and Bernadette Peters was in that version.
Oh,
I was
yeah?
thinking as one of the, as one of the sirens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it was such a big deal when that, like, because that was like when TV movies were such a big deal.
Yeah, they were. They did.
Like, I remember, I was at, like, my school basketball league's, like, award ceremony, and I distinctly remember one of them being, like, one of the coaches of the team was like, I know we all rather be home watching Gulliver's Travels with Ted Danson.
I know we'd all rather be home watching Gulliver's Travels. Like, clearly everybody would rather be home watching Ted Danson's Gulliver's Travels. That's so funny.
I feel like those, like, NBC, like, mini-series...
You need to write that into a sketch somewhere. Just start a sketch off with that.
I know we'd rather
be home. And then never mention it again in the sketch.
I think I should. I mean, I'm trying hard to get into, like, doing more for myself on the internet, at least.
Yeah.
So, just find a sketch, say, like, in 1995.
Basketball coach.
Yeah. I know we'd rather be home watching Ted Danson and Gulliver's Travels.
But we got a game to play.
We got a game to play, guys. We're
and then never bring it up again. This sketch is not about the Gulliver's Travels.
It's all about how the team is down 30 points.
That was great. I remember Gulliver's Travels. It was good.
I remember I really enjoyed it. I did love The Odyssey, though. I remember that.
That was so good. There's this part where Armando Sante eats cheese with his hand when he finally returns home. And I was like, you can eat cheese with your hands? And then I'd only had cheese on sandwiches to that point. And then I went home and ate cheese with my hands. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And now I love eating cheese with
my
hands.
This is, like, making me so happy in this episode. Like, just, like, talking about these, like, random, like, NBC miniseries from when we were kids.
Why? The brain is a weird thing. I can't remember so many other things, but I can remember Armando Sante eating cheese with his hands. Food things I can remember.
So you're kind of like Brad Pitt, but like, not.
Because he's always eating.
Yeah, he's always eating.
Always eating in movies.
Granted, I've only seen you eat like in one or two sketches, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I'll eat in anybody. If anybody's out there needs me to eat in their sketch, I'm happy to do it.
He's a great actor, guys. Great guy and easy to work with, from what I understand.
Easy to eat with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what brought you to New York?
So, I was home in Massachusetts and... a friend of mine, and I knew I'd want to end up here, want to pursue acting, and it was 2006,
okay.
And a friend of mine had a business here, and had an apartment here, and said that he could give me a job and let me crash on his couch until I found my own place.
Nice.
If I came out, so I came out, and the office was actually right down the street from the UCB Theater. It was on 26th, and... my mom was like, I'll get you some acting classes for Christmas this year. And I was like, okay. And then somebody had told her about UCB. Uh-huh. And so she happened to sign me up for UCB classes.
Who was your first teacher?
Ari Bukidis.
One of my favorite people.
The best 101 teacher anybody could ever
have. I had him at advanced study, but I heard he was really, like, really good on lower levels.
He's so welcoming. Like, he makes you want to be a part of the community. You know, he's great. And then he helped me out so much because after the class was over... I asked him for, like, some advice on the world, and the three things he told me were to read Mick Napier's Improvise, to see TJ and Dave, and to take a Brooke and Mary class to try and get a commercial.
I'm trying to do a Brooke and Mary soon.
And then I did
Jim and Chadwick told me about it recently, yeah. And he's like, Mark, you really have to do this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And Damon Chadwick, some people I have ultimate respect for.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
Love that guy. Get to ride the train with him quite a bit.
Oh yeah, he's in the same part of Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. So then, you know, it's like, you gotta ask people for advice and help, yeah. And stuff like that, and like, I feel like those have always been the things that have helped me out, like, the big leaps and bounds in my, like, you know, world of doing comedy,
right.
And acting stuff has been, like, from asking people for help. So, like, and then my 201 was with Joe Wenger, and I was like, hey, man, I really want to keep doing these classes, but I can't afford them. And he's like, oh, you should intern. And so he recommended me for the intern program. So, like, you know, having those 101 and 201 teachers be the kind of people that can help bring you into the world.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Helpful. And, like, that's why with BYOT, we try to, like, make it as welcoming to everybody. Even if you have a shitty set or something like that, we still try to get your name afterwards.
And I really love BYOT. Like, I love BYOT. I hate the fact that I've been working so many nights, like, constantly for the last month or so.
Yeah.
Like, because, I don't like missing BYOT.
We try to keep it, you know, really personal and so that we know everybody who comes so that, I don't know, I just want people to feel like they can turn to the bartenders as friends in the community and... for advice and for help and, you know, whatever it might be.
I mean, you guys are all nice except for Andy Bastillo.
So. Yeah, everybody's nice except Andy.
Yeah.
But you gotta have one hard ass in the bottle.
Yeah,
you know?
And Andy is, like, all about bringing that bottle open, you know? And
yeah.
Like, shoving up people's butts.
Yeah, you know, if shit goes down, it's good to know Andy's there to kick some ass.
He's really tough.
He's a tough guy.
Like, I've known that guy for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Almost four, 4 years, actually.
Feels like 20, though, right?
It feels like 20. I feel like I've served a prison sentence with him.
Yeah.
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 But, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, that, like, all that, I think the first RT I ever went to, or one of the first ones I ever went to, one of the first ones I remember is when Mishu and myself, my good friend Mishu Homie, and my best friend Mishu Homie, and I were able to finally do two prob together. Like, we've always wanted to do two prob together, but we never did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he was definitely a higher level, mental, like, improv-wise, than we were in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to Chicago, and he was in town, like, I think this was, 2 years ago, maybe? I want to say it was 2 years ago, maybe. And he's like, okay, we're going to do it, but we're going to do annoying style, which means fast scenes. Just don't give him a fuck. Do whatever you got. We did like 40 scenes in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, at first you hear this weird murmur in the audience, and then like by the end, they were fully on board.
That's awesome.
And like, it was great. Like, we, like, the suggestion we got was like, boo boo boo. Like, it was like, just like, he was like, just make some like a weird noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm interested in the, in the annoyance stuff.
I love it. I wish I could afford to, like, take annoyance also and UCB.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
How much are their classes?
I think they're, like, comparable price-wise.
And if you're, like, already an experienced improv person, do you...
You get, like, 201. Like, they're level 2, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, BYOT is beautiful. I want to talk about that shortly. I want to get to there first.
Okay.
So you're, like, in the community. You've been in the community for 9 years now.
January 2007 was my first class.
Okay, so 8 years.
8 years, yeah. Wow, 8 years.
That's awesome.
It's crazy, yeah.
So...
And then I start interning right away, and then so I got more involved in the community through that, and then, you know, I start teching, and I start managing at Chelsea, and...
And how did you... Because, like, I mean, you are the first manager of the bar at the Beast.
Yeah, so I was bartending and waiting tables, and then on the side working at Chelsea here and there. And there a position had opened up for assistant to Alex Sittis, who is the main guy. And so I applied for that, and he said, well, we might have something else in mind for you interesting coming up. And then that's when the Beast was going to be opening, and they were going to be having a bar. And, you know, they knew I was a bartender and bar manager, so...
Now you know a lot of good craft beer.
Yeah, I sure do. I love me some craft beer. And so when the Beast was going to be opening, they asked me if I wanted to manage the bar. That's how that happened.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's it like to, like, run the big comedy bar in the Lower East Side?
It's cool. It was really cool at first, you know, because you get to see something, you know, from a...
Because the Beast was, like, literally not that cool of a place for a while.
Well, we didn't have beer for a while. We were only selling soda because we didn't...
have a liquor license.
We didn't have a liquor license yet. So once we got the beer license, the soda sales went way down. And the beer sales went way up. So
which that makes sense.
Yep. it's great.
Were people allowed to bring their own, like, beer in before the liquor?
No. No BYOB, nothing. So it was only about maybe 2 months... Maybe
that's possibly. Still a long time, though, at comedy.
It was hard to keep the bartenders around. The bartenders who have been there since day one, thank you, because they stuck with it through those...
Who's been since day one?
Anna Calgary, Sharon Spell, I believe, Sue Smith.
Was it Marshall?
Marshall was definitely near the beginning. He might have been round one. I had a few friends who were non-UCB people who were bartending. Who since have gone.
Yeah.
Because it's not, like, there's more lucrative jobs out there.
Of course.
People that work at UCB love UCB, so that's keeps them around. We have awesome bartenders. We've always had awesome bartenders.
So. Oh, I fully agree. And how did the idea for BYOT come out?
I think I had, I had talked about it with Paul Odo, and I had talked about Paul Odo was bartending at the time, too. How we had just started Kunk, I think. At that time, we were the team with no name. And we had been, like...
One of my favorite names in the world. Conkus is a great name.
I love that name too. I think that was Lucas Harvey that came up with that name.
Funny, crazy man.
We're gonna, if we have another team, we're gonna call it Gunt. maybe our sketch team will be called that. But I pitched the idea to Nate, and I was like, you know, I'd be happy to get a co-host or something like that. And then it was Nate's idea, I think it was Nate's idea to have all the bartenders host it.
Yeah.
And just kind of have it be a night that promoted, like, drinking to increase the bar sales.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, kind of a...
Because I feel like that's definitely where it felt like at first.
Yeah.
It definitely changed more a little bit. Like, it definitely changed more to, like, the actual, like, content.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. At first it was going to just kind of be a free-for-all, you know, everybody gets drunk kind of thing. But it's gotten away from that a little bit.
Still people get drunk.
We still start off the show with a pitcher and finish the show with a pitcher.
Yeah.
Whose
idea was it for the free pitcher?
That was my idea.
Yeah.
It
makes sense.
Yeah, because I want something to keep the people that were left in the audience that hadn't gotten up yet.
Yeah.
To keep them. Like,
and especially excited. If it's a long one. I remember, like, I've been to, like, 2 hour plus ones and have won the pitcher. Twice in those, I think.
Nice.
And I remember one of those I had work at like 8 in the morning the next day. And it's like, oh boy, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still had a pitcher to drink.
Yeah.
yeah. But now we're doing bottle service, so we're bringing more drinking back into it.
That's cool. So you got like champagne or?
We have wine bottles. If you buy a bottle of wine, then you get moved to the front of the, you get picked from a different bucket that goes first. it's a VIP treatment.
How much is to buy a bottle?
A bottle of wine is $20. Recommended tip is no less than $3.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you're looking to spend $25-$26.
Nice.
But, you know, it's bottle service, baby.
Who's done the bottle service so far?
This is Michael Phillips' idea, by the way.
Of course.
Nobody's done it. Jose Pena says that he's going to do it this week.
So we'll find out, because apparently Jose Pena is now employed.
Oh, yeah?
According to the book face.
Oh, nice.
That's what it said.
Okay.
So we'll find out.
Good.
Of course, you're going to have to report back before this episode airs.
Oh, yeah, right. Didn't he go on a job interview and tell a joke or something?
Yeah, and he, like, hired on the spot.
Oh, that's great.
Pena is a good guy.
Yeah.
I know he's listening to this episode, too.
Oh, yeah?
There's no way he's not listening to this episode.
Oh, good. Well,
should I tag him in the book face about this?
I think you should, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about, like, you getting on mod, because you were put on a first to Beige, right? That was your first?
First to Beige, yeah.
So what was that like, getting on to mod? Because, I mean, like, by the time you got to mod, you were pretty prolific in the indie scene of sketches.
My first sketch team was called The Release, and that was with Emily Tarver, Paul Odo, Lucas Harvey, Steve Dressler, Sarah Tolmash on The Release? I can't remember. But I've been doing sketches with those guys for a long time.
They're all hilarious human beings.
Yeah, they're some of my favorite people. Jim Lester was also on The Release. We had been doing Liquid Courage every week.
Right.
Without fail, we were going every week. And we'd get a room at the training center ahead of time. We would write a sketch. We would go to Pars, that weird Mediterranean restaurant near...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, on, like, 8th, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. We hit it off with the bartender. Her name was Maria. I think she was Russian. And so it was our ritual. Friday night, we'd go get a training center room, we would write or rehearse a sketch, we'd go to Pars, get cranberry vodkas, and then go to Liquid Courage, and it was the best. I'll never forget that time. And we were killing it. We were really coming up with some funny stuff, and it was great. And then we all got busy with other stuff. They stopped doing Liquid Courage as much, and so that was another reason I wanted to, you know, start BYOT, was to put up my own sketches.
Right.
Because I hadn't gotten on a mod team yet, and I had tried out a bunch. I had submitted a bunch. My first sketch class was with Dominic Dierkes. That's how long ago I took 101. So I just kept at it and, you know, kept submitting and kept auditioning and still haven't gotten on as an actor, but I still would like to at some point.
Right.
But I'm on as a writer.
Have you appeared in any of the sketches?
Yeah.
I know Beige had, like, that whole, like, murder mystery. Like, everyone getting murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played a creepy butler in that one.
How long did you live?
Not very long.
Because Brashad told me, like, everyone died really quickly. And
Yeah. We try to kill off the writers first. So the actors would have more stage time. But Beige was awesome. It was cool.
Beige is such a fun group.
Yeah. I mean, I had always done indie sketch stuff, so I didn't know what to expect with being put on a team of people that you don't know everybody.
And they were around for, like, 2 years at that point, right?
I think it was 3 years.
Well, was it 3 years, like, the whole run? Or
yeah, I think... Well, I was only on for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
So, it was a blast. Santangelo's the director, and he's, like, a genius.
Yeah.
Like, he's so freaking great to work with. And so, it was really... It was like anything where, you know, when you first start doing it, you're, like, a little, you know, tense and, like,
right.
How do I navigate this situation? But then once you're there, you're like, oh, look, remember when I was, like, nervous about this or tense about
it? Yeah.
I'm trying to take more of an attitude of, like, I've already been there when I go into new things now.
Right,
you
yeah.
know? And so, yeah, it was great. Those guys are awesome.
And so were you afraid of getting cut when the
show happened? Yeah, of course. Of course I was. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I submitted, you know, my... I thought my...
Oh, right, because you had to resubmit, yeah.
You had to resubmit, and they had to be... they couldn't just be sketches that you had done. It had to be a topical sketch, and
yeah.
you had to do, like, a blackout sketch. But I thought my packet came out good, so I was happy I got back on.
And Nipsey, the team, it's like, a lot of, like, mixed up people?
Yeah, it's some new people, some old people.
So you're now, like, one of the, like, old veterans on the team?
Well, as far as the writers go, I think I'm the newest writer.
Okay.
All the writers have been around for a while, I think. But the actors are mostly new actors.
Okay.
With the exception of Evan Hoy Thompson and Natasha Van Blatt.
Right.
I think all
of them are definitely veterans.
Yeah. And they're so good.
Yeah, Natasha is awesome. Like, she's been a good friend of mine since my 201 at UCB.
She's a
like, awesome. We met on, like, almost 5 years ago now.
Yeah. Like, she's just such a cool person. She's so level-headed, so smart, and so funny.
Yeah, so funny.
God.
That, her solo show is so funny. I saw the first spank of it and loved it. I didn't see it since it got the run, but...
She had another spank last night, which I really wanted to go to, but I had to work. With Sarah Talmash.
And, oh, wow.
Madeline and a couple other people.
Hey, it might be a show by now. We don't know yet.
I hope so, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, Nipsey's had their first show already, right?
Yep.
And how'd it go?
It was really good. The laughter was consistent throughout the whole show, which I think is awesome. I hate when there's, like, dips. But I thought the laughs were consistent, so every sketch went well. It's a really, really talented group of people, so it's awesome.
Are you I know you say you want to, like, try to act in... Of course, I'm not. Have you thought about, like, being like, yeah, I'm going to try writing a character that's very specific to you?
Actually, it's funny. I have a sketch where I would have to come out on stage because the writer of this sketch has to, like, come out on stage.
Yeah?
I haven't pitched it yet, but I did pitch it this meeting, this last pitch meeting. I haven't written it up yet.
Okay.
It's where my cat starts to crawl on my keyboard as I'm writing the sketch. So as the actor is trying to read the lines.
So they got, like, really random words.
Yeah. And so the actors have to be like, who wrote this sketch? Is this Austin? Austin, can you come on stage? So I am trying to write myself into the show as much as possible.
Yeah.
But that really only the time the writers are in a sketch is usually only when there's more than six people in a scene.
Right. So which makes sense, yeah.
I'm going to write all...
And are you the only person that causes, like, that considers himself an actor out of the writers, or?
You know, I was kind of surprised to find that, like, with Beige and with Nipsey, that writers are not really wanting to be actors also.
Well, there's a couple people on Beige that were, like...
Well, Brashad's a great actor.
I mean, Brashad's one of my better friends as a comedian. Like, I know that he's, like, always eager.
Yeah, he's really good, too.
He's an amazing director, too, for those that don't know. Hopefully, he'll be directing something this summer.
Yeah.
Again.
But most of the other writers on Beige would rather be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I think most of the writers on Nipsey, I think, also are more behind the scenes.
So that's good. You have a good chance, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, actually, and Natasha is the only writer actor on
Marvel. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Get ready to wrap up, because I know that you have a pretty hard out pretty soon.
Yes.
What's something about Austin Rodriguez people might not know that you're okay sharing?
Oh, okay. You know, I thought of I thought of something to say to this in case that question was ever asked to me recently, and now I can't remember what it was. I had a nipple ring from the ages of 16 to 32.
Oh, God.
Same ring in there the whole time for 16 years.
Jeez. So, why'd you take it out?
Well, my girlfriend in high school was the one who wanted me to get it, and I didn't want to do it, and then she bought me the gift certificate to go do it, and took me to the place and made me do it. Sorry, that's...
No worries.
That's the meter.
That's the meter?
Yeah, but I got 5 minutes.
All right, cool. We'll be done in 5 minutes for sure.
So, and then my current girlfriend, Sue Smith, the beautiful...
Amazing and talented.
Amazingly talented Sue Smith.
Follow her on Twitter. Also. Yeah,
follow her on Twitter. One of the top 10 female comedians in New York City, by the way.
She's very funny. Like, this is like a funny relationship.
Yeah, she's great. And she did not like the nipple ring. So it was a high school girlfriend made me put it in, and my adult girlfriend that made me take it out.
Did it hurt taking it out?
It didn't. No.
Did it hurt? Fine. I'm sure it hurt getting it, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, getting it hurt.
I had no idea you had a nipple ring.
Yeah.
No idea you had a nipple ring.
Yeah, I was a rock star. I was real badass.
Yeah. Did you, like... I find piercing scary for God. Like, in my mind, I'm like, it sounds like it would just hurt everything.
I don't seem like the nipple ring type.
You do not seem like nipple rings. Maybe I could see it as an eyebrow piercing guy, like, when you were younger.
Really? Oh, yeah. When I was younger?
Not like, yeah.
I probably even did. No, I don't. I think I had the cartilage
piercing. Oh, definitely cartilage, yeah. I mean, because you have a rocker, like, rock star vibe.
Okay. All right, good. I want to have that vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know that, yeah.
Okay, so what's something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you?
Something I'm looking forward to coming up that does not involve me. There's a show, I think, tonight or tomorrow night, Loud Boys.
That might have happened already.
Oh, really? No.
Is that the beginning of February?
This
is going to be the first Monday of February.
No, I think it's like tonight or tomorrow night. Well, that's Pianos?
That's like actual our timeline tonight. So,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I have a little
bit. Wait, back. So do you need me to say something even farther out than that?
If you want.
Okay. it has to be a show or something?
It could be like a show, it could be a movie, it could be a book, it could be anything.
Okay. I'm excited for George R. R. Martin to finish the Game of Thrones.
That's perfect, man.
The Song of Ice and Fire series.
That's a perfect one.
Yeah, I just finished reading those. So.
I tried to read the first one, and my brain like partially like melted and exploded at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, these are too many weird words that don't make sense to my brain, and then I just had to stop reading the book.
Well, if we're being perfectly honest, I listened to all of them on audiobook.
So it's a little bit easier because like then easier. You're not like 18 DAE names.
The guy who narrates them, man, shout out to Roy Dotrice. Old British man who is amazing.
Well, then maybe that's how you should do it.
Yeah. Does he listen? He probably does.
You know what?
Roy Dotrice, if you're listening, man, keep crushing it on those Game of Thrones series.
Seriously, man. Okay. What about plugs for you? Twitter, Tumblr, shows,
sure.
Vine. I know you're also Viner, so.
Yeah, you can follow me on... I don't do too much Vining, but I think the handle is the same as my Twitter handle, which is Austin, New York. All spelled out, two N's in the middle. What else? I've got my next Nipsey, my mod team show is February 9th. BYOT is every Sunday.
Go, guys. It's really fun. It's and, like,
fun.
Gets a lot of really team. Cool things. Like, yeah.
And then Kunk at the Creek is the first and third Monday of every month at 10 at the Creek.
Nice.
And that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, Kunk is awesome. I haven't had a chance to see you guys at the Creek, but I've seen you guys do shows before.
Yeah, okay.
And so much fun.
Yeah.
My plug's very quickly at MarkLevy85. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. On February 7th, I'll be a Mad Betsy do music at 7 p.m., reviving a very popular thing I did my first time doing Mad Betsy. I'll be doing Fiddler on the Roof.
Great show.
Very, very excited because Mad Betsy is the greatest
thing. That first one at the Beast was killer.
And I hope we'll be at the second one.
Yeah.
Also, I will be in my beautiful, lovely team, Fallen Socks, is performing on the 8th. I want to say a Triple Crown, but I'm not entirely positive. I will make a note and have it in the intro of this episode. So you already know the information on that one.
Well, yeah, I have one thing I didn't mention, which is the talent, which is my video sketch
team.
Oh,
the talent's so good.
Sam Schechter, Brandon Scott Wolf, and Ben McCarthy.
I mean, those are all rock star names.
We have a video on the next Red Hot Fun Fest. That's
going to be nice. Which you guys got to come to because those are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Austin, this has been so much fun.
Thank you so much, Mark.
And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.